Welcome to The Art of Construction, the podcast dedicated to helping you grow your business. Together, we'll explore the world of construction with some of the best minds of the industry. Your host, Evan Tilley, a micro-influencer and sometimes disruptor, will take you on a journey that will lead your business to the next level.
What's up, Art of Construction Tribe? My favorite type of recordings live. I'm sitting here at the Nuts and Bolts Conference, and we're going to get into the nuts and bolts of IDD. I start by raising my hand, Tribe, and say, a few weeks ago, I didn't even know what that stood for. And I'm still trying to figure that out a couple weeks later, and I'm going to ask a lot of great questions over a deep dive series podcast. We're going to do three episodes to where starting out by giving mass credit to Barb Ziegler, who is the top and bottom of this organization of Trailhead. And we're going to talk about what is IDD and talk about housing and around this conference. And to do that, I'm going to have my co-host, Matt McMullen, who's been at many conferences with me over the years. And he's the one that's really got involved, and he's going to be speaking at this conference and kind of tying and weaving some of these design and theories and practices all together to create better architecture when it comes to IDD. It's an honor to have you here, Matt.
Hey, man, thanks for inviting me back. It's been a while. You look even more handsome than before.
Well, we have three great podcasts. Like this first one, Trailhead Development is really the engine behind this, and we're going to talk about IDD today and housing around that and how this conference and the stories around that. Then we're going to talk about how to build out an IDD project with Jim and Greg, and then we're going to talk about how to design with Ken and Beth. And all of these different episodes will be released together in a deep dive series. But to start this thing off, the main message of this whole thing that I've learned from the pre-interviews with Barb is that we have an invisible crisis on our hands that we really need to bring attention to. And how is this going to benefit you is that millions of individuals with intellectual and development disabilities, or IDD, I'm going to say that over and over again, in this country cannot wait for decades for more housing options. And this is the part, Matt, I want to get your perspective, is that I think we always talk about the riches are in the niches, and we do a lot around how do we understand to make housing more attainable and what we call system-built architecture and system-built construction, of how do we take these different needs and figure out this thing we all need, which is shelter, and figure out who can help parent the shelter. So my perspective is I just walked into this conference this morning. The conference started yesterday, and I love diving into the gooey middle and learn what the nuts and bolts are all about. And then we get to talk with the people who made this conference happen. What about you, Matt?
You know, for me, it's really personal. So I have a second cousin with intellectual and developmental disabilities, where he literally requires 24/7, 365 care. And Scotty, when my cousin had Scotty, they didn't think he was going to live past age 4. Scott just turned 40 this year and has bounced in and out of group and community homes and is now currently living in the senior living facility in Eureka, Kansas, because there's no other place for him. And so I then met Barb, and also Susan Myers and Mike Myers from my golf club. The Myers have a son, David, who's 34, and David has autism. And it's this huge struggle, like you say, it's kind of invisible, but when people look within their family structure, everyone usually has someone with some type of intellectual and developmental disability. And I see this as sort of my last chapter of my career, is helping to figure this out with Barb and all these incredible people to create housing with dignity and supportive services with dignity that allow these folks to live rich and vibrant lives.
Wow, well, that's some deep stuff. Well, without further ado, let's dive in and get to know Barb and then Lexi in the speed round, and they have some cool stories to share with us today. Lock and load, Tribe. What's your favorite beverage?
The only one I have time for, water.
And what about the favorite place you've traveled?
Oh, gosh. Colorado, and I ended up living here permanently. The best trip I ever took.
Awesome. And what do you like to do outside of the construction arenas and these silos that we're passionately working to break down that we call the art of construction?
Outside? There is an outside. Well, for sure I make time for Penn State football. Got to watch them. And I have 8 kids and 11 grandkids, so family.
Awesome, awesome. Well, Barbara, it's awesome to have you here. And we also have Lexi, who is your daughter, correct? And Lexi, what is your favorite beverage?
I would say Shirley Temple.
Awesome.
Because I love the sweetness, but all the bubbles of the Sprite, because that's just how I am. That's my personality.
Awesome.
Yeah, and for those who can't see here, because this is a podcast only, she's wearing an incredibly vibrant flowered dress and a beautiful bow tie on her hair. So
awesome. What's a favorite place you've traveled?
I would say for the first time that made me feel like, wow, was probably Las Vegas.
Oh, wow.
Because I think that was like my first adventure after being gone. I think that was probably my favorite trip. That and New York City, you know, seeing Statue of Liberty for the first time was, you know, that kept my travel time going. So those are two of my favorite places.
Awesome. And what's your favorite hobby?
Shopping, 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 and shopping.
In that order?
Yes. Yeah. I'm not sure which is one, two, or three, or four, but I think it's shopping.
Awesome. Well, we're honored to have you, and thanks for having us be part of the story at this conference. And we want to unpack this by going back to the beginning. Barb, what is your story that led you to being the executive director at the Trailhead Community? And put it all out there. We're all ears and super excited to hear this story.
Lexi is my daughter. She does have IDD. In her case, it's not 24/7 like Scotty, Matt, but she does have challenges in processing and navigating the world. Her father and I, you know, brought her up. She's such a blessing with her bubbly personality, and it's all wonderful. We worked really hard to find her things to do in her adult life and find a job and all of those challenges. And one morning, 64 years old, my husband didn't wake up. He was gone, and I looked around, and it was basically Lexi and me. And the first question that pops into the mind is, what happens to Lexi when I'm gone? And it didn't take long to find many, many parents of Lexi's friends who were having exactly the same thoughts. And so we began looking for solutions. You know, there must be places for these folks to live safely and independently and with dignity. Matt, you're absolutely right. That's a huge issue. And you know what? There wasn't. There was nowhere. Nursing homes, you're right, Matt, aren't the best. We were told just get them an apartment and somebody will stop in once in a while and make sure they're okay. That's not all right either. That's not enough. They just, their needs are unique and across a vast spectrum. And so what do you do when you can't find a solution and nobody's done it for you? You do it for yourself. We knew we had to build it. We had to build it ourselves. So a small core of parents, there were five or six of us, started meeting in my living room and talking about what it could look like and what it would look like, because it hadn't been done, as far as we could tell, anywhere. And I don't know whether I had the most time or the loudest voice or whatever it was. It kind of evolved to where when we began to get formal with leadership structure, I became the executive director by default or whatever else. But many, many parents were part of it. And honestly, this was close to 10 years ago. And we thought we'd probably build a nice little, 8 or 10 unit place for our folks to live. We've gone far beyond that since then.
And that's what we're going to unpack over the next couple of days. Of Barb, correct me if I'm wrong, you've set up some of the leaders and the people that have stepped up and helped make this actual dream turn into a reality. Is that correct?
Absolutely. So many people, once they understood the problem and the issues, came forward to help, and it was just a whole series of miracles.
Outstanding. And Lexi, what's your story?
Oh, well, same kind of what my mom said. I was nervous about knowing what was going to happen after my dad died, but I met an amazing person, Bren, who, and my mom said, you know, there has to be something other than housing. There has to also be a place for me to go, be with friends. And they started Stepping Stone Support Center, and that became a pre-vocational program for adults with disabilities to do different life skills, jobs, and that became my home, you know, that because I didn't have anything other than home with my mom. But, like, Stepping Stone Support Center definitely gave me a life change of, like, a better perspective of, like, there's something out there for me. And that became a huge change for me. I was, you know, a participant, became staff, and then I worked there for several years. And then in the last almost a year, in 2 weeks, I have worked at FedEx Ground. So now I'm a package handler. And it just, starting that journey was very scary. Not knowing if I would have any other opportunities to do things. Driving was a big thing. I was able to learn how to drive. That became an eye-opener, especially when there's people out there in my feeling of, like, there are adults with disabilities that can't drive, but it makes me feel so good that I can help the other ones that need to get around. So that, all those steps I took in the last 10 years might have been scary, but it was for a good reason. And so I honestly feel like, not just for Stepping Stone, not for my mom, not just for Trailhead, I feel like I've helped myself grow more to know that there is going to be a place for me when she's gone. And as any parent doesn't want to tell their kids that, you know, you're going to die, but we all die sometimes. But in this world of IDD, that's a whole different perspective. That's a whole different thing, feeling, when you're being told that, you know, your parent is gone or there. But my mom has been, yeah, superhero is probably what I would say. She's, you know, I'm sorry, you put up with me a lot. I'm gonna be straight and honest right now. I'm very sorry, but, you know, but it made me closer to her when my dad passed away. It kind of just knew that she was there and she was the one. And I knew I had brothers and sisters, but I knew that my mom was, like, by my side through ups and downs. And I would say this has been a crazy roller coaster, but a fun one.
Well, I genuinely appreciate you opening up and sharing that story with us, and your goal of setting out where can she be when I'm not here. We run a whole thing in the Art of Construction in the Master Facilitators community titled, How Do You Live a Full Life Perspective? Whether you're here for 2 more days or 20 more years, you don't know that, right? And you have to hit that head on and deal with that. But when you can be here to achieve your goals, like, I genuinely feel that and appreciate being here with you to say, I kind of hear you set out to do this, and these people are here to have your daughter talking about that is so cool. And I just want to commend you for that. And then I'm going to ask you both to help educate. I raise my hand, and there's a lot of other people that say, you know, we're all blessed in different ways, and we all have challenges in different ways. And I need the education. I think there's a lot of other people out there of, like, what is IDD, and unpack that a little bit, because I don't have a family member in that situation, where a lot of people do, but I think we need to gain awareness, and that's what this platform is for, right, Matt?
Yeah, absolutely. And just, you know, for all the people that are listening, just the love and the care between a mother and a daughter, and then the unselfishness that Lexi was talking about, where I don't know, and I'll talk about this more later when we kind of wrap up, but I don't know that I've ever been in a community of people where there's more love and bonding and unselfishness than this particular community. You absolutely feel at home from the moment you step into the space.
Barb, what is IDD?
Okay, well, specifically intellectual / developmental disabilities. So it applies primarily not to a physical disability, but it applies to thinking, processing, memory, you know, intellectual issues. But that is, encompasses a universe of different diagnoses, Down syndrome, autism, the entire spectrum of autism from extremely high functioning to 24/7 care within the autism world, and cerebral palsy, and you know, the issues we used to use the R word for, all of those issues are encompassed in IDD. So it's, I would say it's disabilities that make it more challenging to function in the world, other than the physical disabilities, which is not to say that there aren't a lot of physical disabilities within the IDD community as well. In fact, cross-diagnosis is really common. Very few people have just one thing. So the needs range from processing and executive function to physically navigating the world and even behavioral issues. And that wide range of needs is the reason that it's, you can't just plant one of these folks in a typical apartment building. There need to be safeguards and supports and all kinds of things, which I know you're going to be talking about as we go forward.
Lexi, anything you'd add to that?
You know, for someone who's experienced being in an apartment by myself with my significant other, that was an eye-opener because there is a lot that needs to be put in place. You know, you can't just throw them into a square box and be like, you're fine. And so I think that became a reality for me to know that I have to still ask for help. And I think any adult, even with or without IDD, it's hard to ask for help. But you kind of have to do that to kind of get through the obstacles in life.
Got it. So if I'm understanding it right, in the built environment, how do we build projects and work with people like Matt McMullen to design these to be more flexible with different channels of issues?
Exactly. It goes so far beyond ADA.
Yeah, I was going to talk about that a little bit. Is that there's been a real clear understanding or focus or message about, like, we're not just talking about ADA. That's just like entry level 101 for folks who may have wheelchair
but you can
walking disabilities.
Wrap your arms around that. Like someone in a wheelchair, you can see that and you can understand, like, and you can, it's kind of like egress. If you say a firefighter with their tank, it's to get them to be able to get in and out of a window. That's why egress, a window needs to be that big, just like a door or a bathroom for someone in a wheelchair. But we're talking a lot about a lot deeper stuff than just someone in a wheelchair, right?
Well, and the key is this, is, you know, you use the term riches in the niches, and that's really what this is about. There are multiple crenellations of niches. And so to really get into understanding each person's individual challenges and how you would address those through design, through a random Monte Carlo of where they might live. And so it's incredibly difficult to think about it from a design standpoint, but that's also the intriguing challenge of it too, right? If you're truly a problem solver and a designer, you're like, hey, this is where I want to live.
Yeah, there's so many questions. You know, we have, I mean, think about it, Down syndrome typically features a smaller stature. So where do you place doorknobs and peepholes and doors and, you know, those kinds of things, access and having IDD can create anxiety, so a typical fire alarm may be more, cause more trouble than it solves. You know, those are just little examples of long conversations we went into to reach. I love the riches and niches. It's really that, it takes a whole group of parents with the wide variety of diagnoses that fall under IDD to come up with solutions.
And that's really the foundation, to kind of jump in and talk about. That's really the foundation, is the love of the parents. That's also what I've noticed here at this conference in the first day and a half, is these folks that I've met, you know, Dave and Connie and others, right? And you're like, wow, just the patience of Job and the love of a thousand unicorns, you know? I mean, it's like absolutely amazing, the commitment to their children, to that they would take on giant capital projects, a.k.a. Trailhead, all around their love for one particular special person.
And what's been tremendously encouraging and inspiring and amazing to me is this, you know, we've been so focused here in Colorado. This problem's everywhere. We have people here at the conference from all over the country who are so desperate for solutions and ways to do things, and coming here to help each other to solve this problem. It's inspiring.
And one person flew in from Thailand to come to this conference.
So let's unpack that some more. I just walked in, and a lot of people don't get to be at this conference. Like, when did you know you needed to do this? And we're halfway through this conference now. Give us the kind of this moment in time where you're at of, you did it, we're halfway through, we're going to be interviewing other people who are at the conference, and then after the conference be hearing these stories. But what do you have to say around that?
The germ that sprouted into this conference was the fact that as Trailhead moved along and progressed, in many cases faster than other projects around us, we started getting phone calls from all over the country. Parents, how did you do this? How did you do this? We're in this stage. We can't solve this problem. And certainly we didn't have all the answers, but we learned very quickly there were a lot of questions out there. And we tried to answer as many as we could on the phone. But the need was just so great. We're like, how do we... And we were learning from them as well. When they would call, their very questions educated us on another issue maybe we hadn't thought about. And so the you know, energy of talking together about our mutual challenges was so productive. We wanted more of that for us and for them. And so we said, why don't we all just get together in one place, bring the experts who have, because virtually, you know, I don't think 1% of the parents are actually builders or developers or architects, you know. We've never, or, you know, maybe even never done our own custom home. And so, you know, bringing those people in from the construction industry. And specifically, we've brought the people who worked on Trailhead, because as we selected specialists to help us, designers and so forth, we just saw the light bulb come on in people's eyes as they realized the need, and they met the people they'd be building for, who are an amazing group of people. Matt's talking about the love shown by the parents. That is fueled by the unconditional love that people with IDD give the rest of us. It's an amazing thing. You have to experience it. You just have to work with this population. And I think every one of the folks that worked on our project is here today to help others do the same thing, because most of them did not have family members, did not have the experience. They were right where you are, Devin. And yet they saw very quickly. We've even seen it on the construction site. Our project manager tells us that you know, right down to the workers on the ground, just walk around like, I'm so proud to be working on this. And we have our folks come visit and thank them. And it's a population you just have to meet. That's all I have to say. You have to meet these people. It's just an amazing experience. So the parents may be giving out a lot of love, but oh, we are so blessed.
So I have a couple questions on that. You said a lot of people started to call. What was a common question that people were calling and asking you guys?
Oh, I don't know that there was one theme. I mean, how did you do it was the beginning. You know, where did you find land? How'd you raise the money? How big is your unit? Why are you doing this and not that, you know, in terms of design things and you know, and it even runs to how to manage the building after it's open and provide services needed and that kind of thing.
Yeah, and so those are major questions that a lot of those you said are kind of every construction project would ask those questions, but then how do you tie those into this specific need for that construction project? And that's what we're giving access to all the people that come to this conference into our Master Facilitators community, because you kind of have to be living it, and you don't know what you don't know, and you're jaded by what you think you know until you get hit with the circumstance. And then you get involved in a circumstance to then execute. That's what I'm hearing about the people that are here.
Right. And one of the big pieces of advice I give is, I think we opened the conference telling everybody here, take every phone call, talk to everybody, because you never know what you're going to learn from that. And several times. So first of all, the data is 10% of all families do have someone with IDD in close connection to them. And so it's common, but it's not talked about, and it's, Matt's right, it's the invisible issue. But talk to people. So one of my very first experiences was we needed market study, right? You got to have that. The bank needs it. I mean, who needs to prove this market? But still, we had to do it, right? And cold call to a market study company. You lead with your story. You explain to them who we're building for and why and the need. And we got the study. We got a price of $25,000. And when the study came in, the bill was marked paid. And I called and I said, what? And he said, I have a daughter 3 years old with Down syndrome. So that happened over and over again. So that's one thing that's a little different for the parents who are trying to do this. Find those people who have those connections. And if they don't, tell them the story. And one piece of data may be all you need to hear to know that you need to help. And that is, just in Colorado alone, I don't have nationwide statistics, but you can extrapolate. In Colorado alone, there are 20,000 adults with intellectual developmental disabilities who are living with caretakers who are over 60 years old. 20,000 people within the next 20 years or so, their caretakers will not be able to care for them anymore. Where are they going to go? There is nowhere for them to go.
I guess the big question I have for you is how and why do you typically find this out?
The stories are various. A lot of the diagnoses are made at birth or very soon after. In Lexi's case, I think it was about a year before they were sure. They were sure that she wasn't developing normally, but there were, you know, to actually have a diagnosis took about a year. Sometimes, especially with autism, which is probably 40% of the IDD population, that diagnosis may not come till they get to school or even in early teen years. So it can come any time.
So the answer is you just got to figure it out, and it may take two days or 2 years or 20 years, depending on the situation. And then the other question I have is, you know, how is it diagnosed through IQ, or like what is the process typically? How does that work?
So you've really defined the problem that the system has, and by that I mean the medical system, the school system, people who deal with those.
Yeah, and challenge me on that, because I'm just the status quo, right?
Yeah. Well, it's a challenge for them, for the system too, because there's no little box that we can put these folks in. There's lots of niches. I'm going to borrow your phrase. So IQ's one. To qualify for Medicaid paid services, different states have different levels, and they change the number all the time because nobody's quite sure. In Colorado, it used to be your IQ had to be below 60. Now it's below 70. And then they made another change that you can still qualify over 70 if you have other adaptive behaviors, which is sort of a squishy category that psychologists test and say yes or no. too. So it's squishy. It's, you know, it's not a blood test.
But,
I can
wrap my arms around that. Like, there's always outliers, right? But you have to start with kind of a basis of design, right, Matt? That's why we're always talking about system built. And I think that's what this morning at the breakfast and at the roundtables, it's been the people that you've been referencing, Matt, are asking really good questions of, like, how do we get them to change and what should be when it comes to this type of lock or this type of stair or this type of ... What is that kit of parts that we always talk about, Matt, to wrap our arms around this? Because I think you kind of need to define the rules of the game and then make it work in special circumstances.
Yeah, and I think to put it into the language for all the designers and architects that are listening and consultants is really what you're talking about is like an expanded programming stage. Because you always have to meet the client and user where they are. Right. And so here you got to really educate yourself. I guess the closest thing I can think of was when we did the Boulder Shelter for the Homeless. And I really had to understand the homeless issue and where it was coming from and what would inspire folks that either had mental or physical disabilities or just down on their luck and how to meet them where they were and create a space that would inspire them to be their best selves. And so that's what this thing is about, only there's more complexity, I guess I would say, to this. And I think that when it really hit me was I was at a thing, the First Place Symposium down in Phoenix with Denise Resnick, and I met James Harper, who was one of Barb's partners, at that conference. Excuse me. And we went to a talk one night at a dinner, and it was at the Phoenix Art Museum. And the gentleman who was the head of NIH, the National Institute of Health, was there. And he wrote this book, and it was about the entire mental health issue. And you're like, oh, my God, this guy is probably one of the smartest, most decorated, educationally degreed guys I've ever met in my life. And this guy was struggling with how to deal with the issue. So that's the beauty of it, is it's challenging and yet rewarding.
Yeah, and how our folks exhibit to the world is different. I mean, one huge issue, one reason they really shouldn't live alone in a typical apartment or home, because they exhibit differently, they have a much higher rate of being arrested for behaviors that aren't understood, you know, by the police. And so there are parents out there who are working to educate, you know, that group. They need help. Even articulate people like my daughter Lexi need help with medical services because doctors and nurses don't know how to ask the questions and get the answers they need. You know, just as an example, some of our folks, obviously a lot of intellectual issues are neurological, and so there are other neurological symptoms. Some of them know that they hurt, something hurts, but they can't tell you what. They don't know if it's in their arm or their leg or their stomach. And it takes special communication to figure that out. And so expressing, communicating their needs and self-advocating, they need that support. They need a special place to be with that kind of support.
Yeah, and this was kind of this overview of really, you know, what is IDD and the people that have hit it head on. And we're going to have two more podcasts around this of like how to build it out, the actual project. I'm super excited to hear from Jim Shipton and Greg Krause, who are going to talk about the people who built it. But to begin with the end in mind, you have to come together and you all have to have a source of truth and a design that everybody comes together and says, this is how we're going to do it. And I think it's places like this, and that's why we're beginning with Matt having a lens from the design, and we're going to end with how to design for IDD with Ken Wilkinson and Beth Rodriguez, who have all been integral of making this whole thing happen and put these stories together. And as we work on closing this first podcast out, the question we always ask and why we ask this question is that we've went on this long journey of 300-plus podcasts, and every podcast is kind of like – you know, we've been talking a lot here today about the riches are in the niches, and actually getting a project to go vertical is just so much harder than people think it is when you dive into these type of doing something different than the status quo.
There's a lot of head nodding going on from Barbara.
Yes. Yes, 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 and yes.
And why I ask this question is, first is, who is this for? It's for the builders and the affiliates. We started by contractors and architects, because if you're only going by the contract, when you change things a little bit, it really gets squirrely quick. And so this is for the builders, the people I just referenced, who are actually doing built projects, and the affiliates that are making them work. And how we do that is by connecting the right construction technologies and products. This is looking forward, but also meeting them where they are, like Matt talked about. But at the end of the day, Tribe, the one thing Barb talked about, and we're going to get down into the one thing at the end of this podcast and all the rest of them, is get involved, take the call, and get out there. And the question I ask around this is, Barb, what is your crystal ball for the future with technology and construction?
For our project, I can speak directly to that, and I think we are creating a future with what Ken Wilkinson is doing. He's our technology guy. We'll be in your third podcast. Technology is huge for independent living. I mean, one of our pillars is that the folks that live in our building be as independent as possible. And we'll have folks in our building who cannot speak, who cannot hear, who, you know, cannot process, but they should be able to be as independent as possible. And technology is just coming into an awareness of some of the needs of our population. And housing is where that technology can be applied, I think, to the most effectiveness. And technology can handle so many things: opening and closing doors, thermostats, leak detectors, stove turnoffs, many, many things. But also, another pillar for us is community, that they have neighbors that, you know, we go around singing, "It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood," and we want that kind of life. And technology can help connect people as well. You know, isolation is huge, just as it is for seniors. It's huge for our population. Maybe you want to go shoot some hoops with somebody. How do you find them? You don't drive. How do you get to the court? We have a sports court. You can get on your connector in your room, in your unit, in our building, and say, "Who wants to shoot hoops with me at 8 o'clock tonight?" And make an appointment and go down and have a real life, a normal life. So technology is huge for independence, huge for building community, and then, of course, safety and security. Alarms, fall alerts, we could go on and on.
Lexi, anything you'd add to that?
I think, honestly, when you said, you know, who this should be for, I think the information is good for anybody, because there is that connection somewhere. Like, even if you're in the same building working with someone that you don't know that have or knows anybody that has IDD, I honestly feel like the crystal ball should be big enough for anybody, because you never know where that's going to lead.
And the last question we always ask, Lexi and then Barb. Lexi, what is the one thing that you want to leave our builders and affiliates to think about as they go out there to crush it and grow their business from the lens of what we've talking about here with IDD?
I guess keep their eyes out on knowing that adults with disabilities, things are challenging for us, but I think for them as builders, there's different things to make things better for them. And I think in my perspective of that would be, never take anything down. Like, keep your options open. I think that's my biggest thing, is like, you know, you can always go back and change it, but you never know when you're going to run into someone who needs that extra doorway or that extra walkway, or just those extra steps mean something. And I really think that's a big thing.
Awesome. Barb, close us out.
Please listen to the parents and understand their passion will drive them to success. Believe us. I know initially it was a little hard convincing some people that this old lady was actually going to make a building happen. And believe me, the passion, the need is so great out there. And you will not just be helping our kids. You're going to be solving an incredible social problem. Because if you think homelessness was bad in Boulder a few years ago, Matt, where are our kids going to go? I mean, they are going to become the mental health problems. They're going to become the homeless. And so this is a social problem where you can make a real difference. And there's a market. There's money in it, guys.
Well, we're honored to be here. Matt, thanks for jumping in and getting Art of Construction here to share these stories and working and growing and learning together on how we can have as much fun as possible along the way, but solving the biggest problems, because there's always problems, but with problems become solutions like you've done at Trailhead, and we commend you for it.
Yeah, Lexi and Bart, thank you. We're honored to be here.
Thank you. Thank you for listening to us.
Oh, thank you so much.